虚実を切り裂いて想定の青いで飛び立った特殊へ後悔も嫌もない必然必然なるべくしてなる未来だそれゆえ赤で
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to another great edition of Dragon's Den, brought to you by Pop Culture Fanatics, the only podcast with the fanatic inside of you. It's time to get our My Hero Season 5 on. We're looking at episode 99 today. It's me, Val Sisko, alongside me, the Ida, it's my Bakugo, Jay Rance. How you doing, brother?
What is up? I'm chilling, brother. Mackin, excited, you know, always down to talk some My Hero, but I'm good chilling, brother. Hope everybody's doing good.
Hell yeah, it's a fun day, but not a Sunday. It is a Saturday, and we're going to get into this right here. Episode 99, titled Our Brawl. Despite the danger of Black Whip's rampage, Aizawa allows the match to continue for the sake of combatants' ambition. Copying One For All, Monoma attempts to attack Araka, only for the quirk to oddly do nothing. Unintentionally, Midoriya to engage him. The two begin their rematch with Shinzo pulling two pipes down on Midoriya, only to be countered to get the remaining class beat. Midoriya manages to pin Shinzo down. Despite his able to show his smile to me. Fast episode, but a lot to. How do you feel about? Let's just talk about Black Whip for a second and Midoriya.
Black Whip, bro. Black Whip looks like kind of OP, man. They're looking like little Aizawa tassels built in, like,
right?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Even though for that moment that I thought he had control of it, I thought we were gonna see it. I'm like, all right, let's see Black Whip in its not full glory, but. Let's see, you know, like it was beautiful seeing the confidence from the weak, broken Deku that we saw flying around uncontrollable to just having that confidence back again. And I thought we were going to use Black Whip, but Black Whip looks like a fucking great addition to his quirks.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to see that he can't have full control of it yet. I probably would have been a little upset if, you know, next episode comes out. He's like, oh, I'm dual wielding whips now. Look what I can do. I'm young Midoriya, bitches. What's going on? But I'm glad that it kind of got nerfed a tad bit. And, you know, there's limits to all his powers. Maybe we'll go down that road as well, too, since there's six more powers for him to acquire in a way. But, man, it does look like a problem. And he does look like, you know, the intensity that I see is from Bakugo looking at him throughout this whole episode like, damn, this motherfucker keeps on surpassing me. What the hell?
Yeah, we noticed that. Like, he was just super quiet. And I think he just said that at the end. He was like, this power. Like, so it's just kind of like, it's kind of like every time he does something, here's, you know, little quirkless Deku just surpassing him. He had that brilliant moment where he swept the fight to then now seeing this. It's like, okay, what the fuck do I got to do?
You know, I was going to say who's the MVP of this episode, but you know what? There's so many to count. Let's just start with Monoma, man. My man, this guy who was like the charismatic guy to get slapped around in the background. We really didn't take him seriously because he was the biggest shit talker out there from Class B. My man proves his worth in this episode and the last one as well, too. But this episode, he shows how much of a problem he is copying moves and whatnot, attempting to copy One For All. And then that double tap that he did later on in the episode was fantastic.
Agreed. I think if, like, evolution moments in this episode, it had to definitely go to Monoma. Like, I mean, I always like Monoma from the jump. Because he reminds me of Raphael from Soul Calibur, I'll be honest. So then, you know, when I saw him in this episode, just the evolution of his quirk, you know, quietly just sitting here saying, oh, you think I can only copy three? Well, I've expanded my arsenal to four from 5 minutes to 10. I'm like, okay, look at you. What makes him so brilliant and brilliant and how can I sit here and say he'll obtain and reach phenomenal levels is that as of right now he's kind of playing his role. You know, he knows that his quirk really isn't a main ability quirk that I could just go out there kind of like a, you know, one for all things of that nature, because we've been seeing this in this whole season. He has those monologues where not everybody's a protagonist, you know, and when he got locked up, he was like one more desperate finale for the supporting character. So he definitely is going to be a problem as a supporting sidekick or even as a main villain. I mean, main villain, you hear me?
Oh my God, don't do that.
bro, I mean, even when you look, he has those glaring villain eyes.
Maniacal laugh.
Yes, but even low-key, he can be a main, you know, hero because he described his quirk where the lingering effects, you know, remain on non-living objects, you know. So if he made the nut big, the nut is gonna stay big. You get what I'm saying? So great evolution from this dude, man. I'm happy to see him get his moment and not just being slapped around by Kendo. I apologize for that rant, but
I loved it, man. I loved it. I couldn't say it better myself right there. He has shown so much growth and just the team player that he is. You know, yeah, he calls himself a supporting character, but man, he shows his worth to the whole entire team for that moment right there. So that made me happy, showing more love for Class B right there. Let's talk about another MVP, in my opinion. Rocka, man. I think she, you know, useless no more, in my opinion, man. Like, this chick is... We talked about in the last episode how, you know, all these characters being surrounded by Deku has improved them as, like, ultra strategists now. And man, she is so technical. She is so savvy. You know, she is, you know, she uses her quirk to the best of her ability, but not just that, you know, her own martial arts now has become a key factor in her battling. And I love it. It's not just a one and done. She uses martial arts to her advantage at every moment in time. And I love that about her. So she basically essentially saved the whole team in a way.
She did. I mean, I still want to see a little bit of more evolution. I mean, she got the praise from Aizawa that you've matured. You know, she's no longer really that little girl that we saw in seasons 1, 2, I believe, you know, where she was just trying to find her place. Now we get a little bit of growth where she sits here and says, I want to save people as opposed to I just want to make money for my family. Mm-hmm. So, like, we've seen a little bit of maturity in her. Definitely do see her using her mind now. Like you said, all this Deku brilliant strategies rubbing off on everybody. They're using their minds, but pretty dope, bro. I would even give a consideration to MVP, like, you know, even to Mineta, bro. Mineta did his thing low key, you know, showing some evolution, new moves, the great buckler. I was like, that's phenomenal. I was like, yes, look at you. Low key, bro, we've seen Mineta really evolve, bro. Like, I know you really still not sold on him. Do you think Mineta will, you know, finally get his little spot in Class A? I know you say it's just probably the confidence rubbing off from his teammates, but do you see him? Because he even jumped in to save Ashido, bro.
Yeah, I was super surprised. This season is opening up my eyes to Mineta. Sometimes I'm not really sold on the pervy characters that much, but I think that you're doing a nice balance now because for the last 4 seasons, he was all perv and no substance. Now at least you're getting like... all perv, no t-shirt now.
Yeah. Right now. Yo, we need to make that.
This is just his face there with the thumbs up.
I like the fact that they're giving him a healthy balance now, that he's not just crying around trying to be like, what am I gonna do? He's full force engaging in battle. He is confident in his own powers, using, you know, was it the great balls for trampolines, so he can bounce around and engage in battle, or maybe even save someone. Bro, brilliant. You know what that reminds me of? Gran Torino.
Definitely Gran Torino vibes, bro, right there. Small, bouncing around super fast, because even I think it was the Twin Impact dude or the other person, they were like, slow down.
Yes. Just the growth of Mineta I do appreciate right there. He definitely had the pervy moments, but I think it's dialed down because you want to see how much he's grown as a competitor. I would love to see evolution in his costume, but I think the costume's what bugs me as well, too, because he just looks like he's walking around with a giant pamper half the time. Am I the only one that feels that way?
No, you're not, bro. He looked like he walking around with a soiled diaper, bro. Like, for real. You you know when they get all full of piss that they get heavy and bulky.
That's what it is. Just walking around with shit in his pants. But I do appreciate this his growth right there. And then just the main characters right here. Looking at just Shinzo and Deku's battle. Very short. I expected it to be a little bit longer, in my opinion. Maybe just, I don't know, a duel of the fates of just them trading off different blows. But it kind of just went to Mineta's favor. Not Mineta, look at me. Into Midoriya's favor. Mineta, look at me. My man Deku just, you know, he couldn't really activate, you know, One For All the way he wanted to. But when he tried to, he used it for speed and accuracy. And then when he got close to Shinzo, it was just martial arts all day to take that brother down.
Yeah, bro. He just like, he just went full beast mode, even wrapping himself in the tassels to get closer to him, to not lose him. I was like, that's phenomenal right there. I do agree. Maybe I did want to see a little bit of more, like, all right, let them go for a little bit to see even how flexible Shinzo's moveset is. You know, can he be good at hand-to-hand combat, you know, like Aizawa? So that was a tad bit lackluster, but I did appreciate, like you mentioned at the beginning, where he was just like, all right, bro, I still got to get my ish together because I'm not on the level of the hero course. This just shows how brilliant they are, you know. So I did enjoy that.
So Class A technically gets the win right here, of the whole competition. Do you feel like maybe it should have went to a tie just to give that love and respect to Class B because they were the real MVP so far in the season?
Yeah, I would have much preferred to see that. I was actually going to ask you about that. It kind of sucks that Class A went over. You know, kind of typical. I feel like, okay, this is a little Goku cliche. Like, Class A went over. You should at least give it a tie, bro. A tie or... You know, I'm not going to say lose, but a tie I would have much appreciated because to me, in my eyes, you know, like I look at that stuff different. You kind of made everything that Class B did rhetorical. Like,
yeah,
they're always
going to
be Class B, you know? So I'm like, that's a little bit upsetting in my eyes. How did you feel? Because we got a little bit more of the Aizawa just really letting them go. Like, how did you feel about that? And what did you make of that scene where Aizawa was training Shinzo? Like...
I thought you were going to mention the slap, but we can get there later.
Oh, yeah.
Rick James'd him.
Bro, he did.
I, you know what it is? I like that. I like the fact that it was almost like watching parents look at kids in a way, where you have All Might, like the very overprotective father or mother, just being there like, oh, this is getting too dangerous. Pull him out. And Aizawa just being there like, you know what? They're growing up now. Let them handle it themselves, because he's right. When you're looking at real battle, when you're looking at, like, you know, take the school out of a situation and villains are invading or you're in a fight, you just can't intervene all the time. You have to let them figure it out so that way they can improve and evolve in their own ways. So I appreciate that. I appreciate it. It worked out to everyone's advantage right there. You know, it challenged Shinzo, it challenged Jiraka, it challenged Midoriya, you know, it challenged a whole bunch of people to kind of figure out what they need to do to win. So I appreciate that from him.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it's the tough love that Aizawa always gives. So that was pretty cool. You know, All Might just always being that father figure. Young man, what is going on? Like, I did enjoy that. You know, the battle was cool. What did you make of that comment where he said for people like us when he was talking to Shinzo? What did you make of it? Or is that just me trying to reach for now?
You know, I think I jumped off the bandwagon of them being related.
Okay.
But I think what kind of turned me was when you're looking at certain classmates and their mentors. You're looking at, you know, Tokuyami, Todoroki, and whatnot. Hell, even Deku, All Might, right? And how they're not really fathers related, but they're, you know, besides, you know, Todoroki, you know, they're more mentors, that this is like passing the knowledge down. I feel like Aizawa hasn't had that student whatsoever, so he sees that in Shinzo. And you can, and I mean, I don't know, I'm looking as Eraserhead probably, you know, looked at himself that way. Like, his power set may have been like a Class B or a Class C. Hell, maybe even being a support mm-hmm. class at first, and he had to build himself up. That's why he has, you know, the I was gonna call them tassels. Look at me, I don't know why I'm calling them tassels. I wish they were tassels.
Yeah, probably because I called them tassels in the beginning.
You know, he uses that as a secondary power or a secondary moveset so he can make up for the lack of intensity for his other quirk. So I think he sees that in Shinzo as well too, and it's like, you know what, I'm gonna teach you what I taught myself, because no one else is gonna teach you this. And because he's such, you know, Aizawa is such a loner. Shinzo is such a loner. I think they just connect on that level right there.
Mm-hmm. I think after seeing that scene, like you said, I think I'm off the father-son dynamic as well. Just because we didn't get that in that scene, I believe if that was the dynamic between them, I think we would have got something right then and there to hint it, you know, like something would have been said or dropped in that by either character. So like you said, I took it more as kind of like you said, he probably saw himself, hey, I just stare at people and erase their quirks. Mine's is not going to be like top-notch superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the loner, kind of like, okay, I see you, I see myself in you, because I had to grind up to get to this level. Very similar quirks, you know, brainwashing, so erasing. So definitely, I think you're right about that. He doesn't have a little protege, and I think this is his protege. I think they're not related at all, honestly.
You know, I was trying to look back on other episodes. Have we ever seen teachers not in a training course, like take the training course out, but have you ever seen teachers be physical with the students like that?
I mean, All Might did smack Deku at the beach, but not like, I mean, on the clock, yeah. On the clock, no, I don't think we have, which was kind of, like I said, it took me off the bandwagon, but then it kind of took me for a little left turn, because he goes, nobody asks all that information of you, kind of like you're divulging too much. You get what I'm saying? So shut the hell up. So, yeah, and we've never seen anybody get physical on the clock with them.
Like, I think it was supposed to be made for comedic purposes, but, like, I didn't feel that way. Like, I felt like, I was like, well, that's a little intense, sir. Like, what are we doing here? And then all that to say, you passed. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, how did you feel about that, bro? I'm like, wait a minute, like, you have done... I mean, you showed a little bit of abilities, but you did nothing to pass in my eyes. And, okay, you passed, like... I don't know. How did you feel about that moment right there? Because I'm like, huh. And let's accent. I apologize. Mm-hmm. The selfishness that Shinzo still has, bro. Like,
yeah.
The selfishness, because he went on this tangent. Oh, I didn't do, you know, this to save anybody else or help Deku. I did it because I was just told to. I wanted him to fight me. Yeah. So, like, how did you feel about the selfishness still?
I really, you touched this point a couple, like two episodes back. You said that Shinzo is Aizawa's Deku to All Might. Mm-hmm. When Deku came in, he didn't have any kind of control for his quirk whatsoever. And even with that, he was about to flunk out from the studies and from the courses as well too. And I think it took All Might to give that little nudge, but like, he can make it, put him in. Come on now, like mm-hmm. trying to get that student in. That's how I kind of feel here. It's like the guy's maybe not completely ready, but I think mm-hmm. under the tutelage of Eraserhead, he'll be a beast coming down the line.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I can see that.
It's gonna be strange though, because where did they place him? Did they specifically say where he's gonna be placed? Was he gonna be placed in like class A or B?
Nah, they really didn't say. All they said, you know, at the end of the day, you just passed. So yeah, they didn't say nothing. They didn't say you class A or you class B. Like, you just passed. So it's like, what did you pass to? Like, where are you going?
Well, all you manga readers out there, don't spoil it for us, because we're not trying to read ahead too much into this. Out there, we know that the manga's out there, but like, just speculating right now because we have no hardcore proof. Would it be? Does Class A need to have another student in the My Hero Academia anime to focus on right now? Or do you think you could put him in the back burner in the Class B and just take him out for later to play with, like toys?
Nah, definitely Class B. I think Class A... is super too convoluted. We still don't even really have a lot of growth and evolution from some characters in Class B. So if you throw a Shinzo in there, it's like, okay, now it's just going crazy. I say throw him in Class B. Him and fucking Monoma are just phenomenal together. So they could be like, you know, the little duo right there. Maybe get another one. Just let's play it with the ideas of, you know, like the Three Musketeers, that they have Deku, Bakugo, and Todoroki, and just low-key have these dudes just, you know, kind of like do their thing in the back burner and rival these cats later on, in my opinion. Sorry, I just like explained it like that. Like, don't talk, but
I love it.
You know, like, I think Class B is a great spot for him. What do you think?
I think so as well, too. I do see, love just breakdown of the whole entire like tournament that they were having, and just the growth of Class A. You saw everyone's growth, well, mostly everyone's growth, you know, from Todoroki to Tokuyami to Bakugo to everyone in this, to Ida, you know, just levels to this now. And I think Academia, you know, you're looking at your, I think we think that these are kids having fun with powers or whatnot. Look at it real closely. All these guys have leveled up because of all the pain, suffering that they've been through over the last couple of years. Like, these guys have been attacked. The school's been ransacked, you know,
kidnapped,
kidnapped, you know, so many things have happened to all of them to step up their game, not because of the school itself, but because of necessity, life, because of that, right?
Life. So, no, I agree, bro. Since they got into the school, they've had nothing but hardship, bro. Like, you know, from the attack to the League of Villains to the kidnapping to the Nomus to the, bro, it's just been crazy. So that's why, kind of like they say, bro, like, life gives you life-changing situations for you to evolve, and you see this in this anime. So, like, my question to you is real quick, you said, does Shinzo land in Class A or B? From these episodes and these battles that we saw, is anybody else low-key under the radar ready for Class A? Let's just say we're not going to throw him in there. You know, we're just sandboxing right now because we said it's a little convoluted. But did you see anybody from Class B that can definitely sit here and be in Class A?
Most of them. most of them.
You're right.
Monoma, Pony. You know, if Ojiro can fucking have like his fucking worthlessness in Class A, true. You know, anybody. That's bro, they should do a trade. I'll be happy with that.
Bro, let's do Raw, man. Let's do the draft, like wrestling.
You take Ojiro out, and my man, I can't stand him, and I get freaked out by his quirk anyway. Just me, my man, fucking tape elbows.
Oh, Cero, really?
Get him out of there. Get Cero. Get the fuck out of here.
Cero low-key showed a little bit of growth in the mental game, bro. Why does he bug you out? Like, the elbows?
I think it's the elbow tape, bro. It's just like, what are we doing here?
I'm so done, bro. But I agree with you 1,000%. A lot of these dudes are ready for a Class A spot, bro. Like...
Oh, man, for the Cheryl fans out there, they're like, what the fuck?
Cero's so cute, but look at his elbows.
Crusty ass tape elbows.
Worry, you better lotion them up, bro. Like, yeah.
But what were you gonna say?
Oh no, yeah. I'm just saying that I do agree with you. We saw a lot of people from Class B that can be in, you know, Class A, man, like Mudman, Tetsu, Pony, hell, like I would definitely, like I said, we're not deep into the manga, but definitely I would not be opposed if the writer sat here and shook things up, bro. Hell, even, I know you love her, but even, this is just me playing here, even a slice of humble pie, bro, we could see a Momo get switched to Class B and just different stuff. I wouldn't be opposed to that down the line.
Yeah, you know? Me either. Like, at this point in time, I think that would just be, excuse me, fun to have both of them switch it up a bit and learn different styles and whatnot. Hell, imagine a fucking Bakugo going to Class B and be the king of them.
Oh god, that would be fucking crazy.
Deku, I got my I got everyone, Deku. Just continuously burning up Tetsu. No, that would break Hiroshima's heart.
That would, bro. That would. And Denki's, bro.
And Denki's as well, too.
Bro, I don't know, man. How did you feel like... I know you got love for Kirishima. Like, do you think Kirishima has kind of taken the back burner to this season? Or will we have a Kirishima moment?
he might take the bat. Be sure what the layout for the rest of the season is going to be. You know, we've already had like almost like 11 episodes already.
Yeah.
Next episode that we saw in the preview has a lot to deal with just growth. I see Ari, which is fun. We get to see, you know, Million again. So that's going to be great.
Yes.
So I think that's good episode. But you know what? I'm getting it. And I'm like, I want to know what the fuck is going on with Dobby. And I want to know what's going on in the League of Visions. We need that already.
Yeah, bro. No, I definitely feel you on that, man. I think now we're going to get some great episodes because usually My Hero has shown that these little downtime episodes are pretty freaking amazing because that's where we get to see the interaction between class. We get a lot of lore. We get some fun, you know, kind of like the band when they did the festival. So, but I agree, man. I think it's time where maybe in this coming episode or the next episode, something has to drop with Endeavor, with Dobby, with Hawks. We have to get back. I mean, you mentioned Shigaraki and League of Villains, you know, episode ago. Like, we have to see something. I mean, I don't want to sound like the Debbie Downer, but I'm like, I don't really want to see who the villain for the season is. You get what I'm saying? Like, I want to see it, bro.
Yeah, like something elite.
Yeah.
All for one. Anything that's happening with the League of Villains as well too, or just in general, like just a setup, maybe something happening with Endeavor. We start the season with Endeavor. I want to see what's gonna go on with Endeavor now. I want to see what's triggering him. I want to see him maybe we Gohan Goku moment of that. He kind of spanked.
Yeah.
So a lot of game for. And so maybe now. Him and his dad are like a hyperbolic chamber set situation of them just going out there and training their asses off and beating the little shit out of each other. Hell, that might make him closer with them beating the shit out of each
other. Word, he might actually answer his inbox, his DMs. Like,
well, you have to. You have to go
home. Right, you have to go home. You can't avoid it for long. Like, but, bro, yeah, very similar dynamics to Vegeta and Trunks, man. Maybe you're onto something. Maybe a battle situation or a training will bring them closer. Like, you know, old man, you're not so bad. Like, yeah. And he finally accepts them.
Gets that prominent spot possibly as well.
Bro, it's definitely a slow burn with your boy Shoto, man. I'm like, bro, like, they definitely like making this dude the humble pie all the time, like,
every season,
because they know. I appreciate that because they could easily just be like, oh, Shoto, you're the best character here. But you know what? We're just gonna nerf you as much as possible. So like the day that comes when you just go plus ultra, it's gonna be phenomenal. It's gonna be immaculate. Watch, there's gonna be like music in the background, and he's gonna fall.
Yeah, I agree. I think his plus ultra moment will be freaking majestic, bro. Like, so, but it's good. The slow burn is good with Shoto.
And the expectations that you want to see in the next couple of like episodes now, because we got the fights over. What's next?
Oof. Like I said, I want to see a little bit of hints who the villain is. I want to see possibly, you know, going back to Dobby. Does Dobby already know, like, you know, he already kind of hinted and shows that he wants to talk to Endeavor. Like, I want to see if it's, yeah, I'm your son. Like, I want to know, bro, even look, this one's left field, but hell, we're gonna get Lemillion back. Like, what's going on with him and his quirk? Like, is there some changes to it? Like, is he possibly gonna get it back or not? Or what's going on with Eri as well? So those are the things that I really want to see. Also Deku and Bakugo, I want to see what's up with that. I want to see Deku press him. I mean, Bakugo press him like, yo, yes, bro.
I want to see Deku press him. I want to see Deku press him. That's what I want to see.
That'll be the day. Yo, imagine that. Yo, bro.
Yo, I got whips now, yo.
Bro,
who's the bitch now?
Who's the bitch now, bro? Son, yeah, yo, I want to see Deku, bro. Bro, this dude. I just have this visual in my head of him pressing Bakugo up against the wall. Son, don't you know I can end you with the flick of this finger? With this finger, like, yo,
with one snap,
with one finger, I can air force your ass, bro. Like,
Leave me the fuck alone. Back off, man. But those are my expectations, and I want to definitely see those, man. What about you? What are you looking forward to in the expectations in the episodes?
I think we're going to see some stuff happen with Million. I think that Aerie's going to be the one to get his powers back. I feel like we've seen them at least more than enough in the season so far, even just a little cameos, to know that they're just not characters that are thrown away. So I feel like they're gonna get some spots later on in the season. That has to be a thing, because isn't her quirk like she can bring regenerate, back powers, regenerate stuff, bro? Right there.
Yeah, because that's what she was. Oh my god, I already see it, bro. She, this dude gonna roll around with Aerie in the backpack, bro. And she's gonna, he's gonna use, what's his quirk called again? Not permutation. What is it? Like,
I just thought about Demon Slayer putting her in the backpack. Like, let's go. Let's go.
Bro. Yo, imagine him, power, a little Aerie in the back, power. But yeah, that's her power, bro. Like, her power, she can, you know, maybe we'll see some evolution to her quirk as well. Like you said, definitely they're not throwaway characters. Maybe down the season we will see her, you know, getting control of this quirk and using it to regenerate, you know, Lemillion, bro, which I would freaking love. I'm not gonna lie. So that'll be awesome. What other expectations?
Let's see here. Maybe random fights, random villains. Like, I kind of do want, like, a hero killer Stain moment again. Like, even though it was, like, so epic before, like, you're never going to get to that level again. I feel like I need, like, a random villain just to spice things up.
Righteous villain. Like, bro, I think Stain was so majestic and great that we're not gonna get anything like a Stain, bro. And it sucks my son died to a punctured rib, bro. Like, a punctured lung.
He died like a bitch. That's what it was.
Low-key, I did not start appreciating Stain till, like, I don't want to say recently, but after that season, bro. Like, I just started seeing it, and I'm like, bro, there was so much potential with Stain, man, honestly. Like, oh, man. But yeah, I get you, though. You want to see some random roller skate villain, just like, you know, like we saw in the beginning. But yeah, man, definitely, definitely. What were you going to say, though? Did I cut you off earlier?
No, I was going to say, you know, a little bit of tidbit news. We don't get into the manga or the updates for the new movie that's coming out, but just something that just passed by. If you don't have, you know, access to the My Hero video game out for PlayStation and Xbox, you probably missed out on a DLC that kind of dropped. How do you feel about Gento and Laprava being part of the game now?
Bro, he's pretty badass. I played with him. Yeah, I tried him. I'm like, okay, this brings a whole new little evolution to how this game gets down, because his skill set, you know, like, he can drop, like, the little elasticity in the plastics and stuff and set up little trampolines to bounce his enemies off of it. Uh-huh. So I think it's great, too. The fact that he's in the game shows how much love the community has for him. And, you know, he just wasn't a throwaway villain. So, like, I think this is a great addition, and it just shows how much love and important character, you know, Gentle Criminal is. I mean, it's still a little creepy, though, because every time you do your special, you got LaBrava, I love you! Thank you. So it's like, but it's great. Like, yeah, for whoever hasn't downloaded Gentle Criminal, go definitely check him out. Did you try him out?
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. He, you know, you have and Mr. Compressed together.
Yeah, bro, definitely gonna have a good time. And also, just a little tidbit, since we on the gaming subject, for those who haven't really checked it out, you know, My Hero got the mobile game, My Hero Strongest Hero, that's out. I've been rocking out on that. I don't know about you, but I mean, it's good. If you guys loved it, the lore is in there, everything is in there. For now, they don't got a lot of characters out because, you know, the game just dropped, like, what, 2 weeks ago. But it's good. But the thing is that it's very, very tough for free to play. So if you guys don't mind the grind, then definitely. But like I said, it came out 2 weeks. You know, they still need the feedbacks from the community and tweak certain things. But it's pretty fun, though. The combat system is fun. So if y'all want to check that out, definitely go, you know, My Hero Academia Strongest Hero on Mobile Gamer.
Do you feel like possibly this was like an experiment to see if this will land on consoles? Like, a game like this could land on a console?
Oh, man. I think that with such... aside from the let's take out the paywall. Obviously, a lot of mobile gaming has paywalls. Let's just take that out. Aside from that nonsense, it's received nothing but praise, this game. And the community is high on this game, and it's done so well, and it's so fun to play. The fighting system, I really think this is an attempt at maybe an experiment of a different type of game, and if something like this will definitely land on the console down the line, because I remember I told you, I was like, bro, it's so easy, why couldn't they do this on the console version, you know? Like, it's easy to do, but I think this will, a game like this, kind of like a Xenoverse, I think eventually we'll get it down the line, bro, with the successes it's having.
Yeah, man, like, I think, you know, we were talking about this before the podcast a couple days ago, how we were kind of just irritated with some of the game styles they're having right now. Like, the next Demon Slayer game is going to have that, like, My Hero slash Naruto slash Xenoverse kind of feel, battle system kind of feel. And we're kind of tired of that. Like, we want how it was, I want to say, not to be boomers and date ourselves, but how it was maybe 15 years ago when you had different styles of Dragon Ball games or One Piece games or different anime games altogether, a story-driven game, a fighting game, a simulation game. Different types of anime games are there at your disposal, and you can really pick anything up and see what and taste everything, like kind of like an ice cream store. We don't have that anymore. Like, the newest thing that we have ever had was this mobile game right here, and then maybe the Dragon Ball FighterZ. Other than that, everything has been pretty much the same thing. Even the Jump Force game,
Jump Force,
plays the same, almost the same exact way. So I think, you know, just variety is the spice of life. And we're in due for that now.
Yeah, I agree. Because I got hella upset when you said, oh, the Demon Slayer game, I saw gameplay, and it's going to kind of be like Jump Force and how to My Hero is. We don't always want a fighting game. We already see these guys fight on the anime, bro. Like, sometimes we want little adventures. I want to run kind of like what they did with Kakarot. Give me something like that, bro. Hell, I would gladly. This is just me. I'll be a boomer. I'll be old school. I'll be whatever the hell y'all want to call me. I don't give a F, bro. I would take a My Hero game, fantasy, Final Fantasy Tactics style, bro. I would just gush over that. Give me a turn-based, something like that. Little adventure game, bro. Just don't always has to be fighting. Like I said, we see this. And it's not even enjoyable, because I, as much as I love the My Hero, as we love the Hero Justice 2, bro, it's really... it has a limit to as much as you can play it. You know what I'm saying? So, man. But I think with the Strongest Hero, I think they'll definitely take a little dab at trying something different on the console.
Epic. Well, that kind of wraps us up for this week's episode. You know, we're going to bring back another episode next Saturday as well, too. I'll throw some plugs our way right here. For Pop Culture Fanatics, of course, if you want to reach us at, it's PCF Podcast on Twitter and PCF Podcast on Instagram. Facebook has Pop Culture Fanatics as well, too. It's on all podcast platforms to listen to as well, too. So please download whenever you can. For myself, Lucha Val Cisco on Facebook, Lucha Val Cisco on Instagram, Lucha Val Cisco on the Twitter as well, too, if you want to reach me personally as well. If you guys are into the wrestling, we have some wrestling happening this weekend with the NWA, not the rap group, but the Wrestling Corporation. We're going to see some Ice Cube do some backflips. It'd be great.
I'm so done. Yes. Give me that all day.
Listen, if we have Snoop Dogg wrestling and Bad Bunny, this should be like a crossover right now. Def Jam Vendetta style. But I digress. Elite Wrestling Audio is a place to go where you have me and Jay Rance, two boricuas from the Bronx, providing you epic conversations about professional wrestling. EWA Podcast on Twitter, EWA Podcast on Instagram, and Elite Wrestling Audio on the Facebook. It's on all podcast platforms as well, too. Go reach us out there. What are your plugs, sir?
Oh, my plugs are, if y'all guys want to read, if y'all guys like a little bit of the MMA, you know, y'all can head up to Kimura Chronicles, where Val and I jump out there. We do all the craziness and the fun that we have here, or on Elite Wrestling Audio, we do it over there with that MMA talk. So that's the Kimura Chronicles. That's the Instagram, the Twitter. I mean, the Twitter's actually TKC Podcast _. So definitely check that out. That podcast is everywhere. We do a little fun over there. What else? Lag switching. Yeah. Haven't really recorded, but the Twitch, you know, been doing a little Twitch out there. So that's, Lag _switching, that's on Instagram, and the Twitch is Ambient Aizawa, so definitely check that out. And yeah, those are my plugs, Playboy. Like, be out there, be having fun.
Hell yeah, man. Ooh, I want to get on the Twitch as well, too. I just made a new Twitch right now. Lucha Val. You guys go... I'm not going to do anything really crazy until I get my camera, because I swear I think I'm going to go and put the Lucha mask on and stream with it
on. Bro, you should. I mean, like, that's your gimmick right there. Even for Elite Wrestling Audio, brother, I've been saying it to myself. I'm like, he has the gimmick. It's the Lucha mask. You can go out there, bro. Bang, that's your gimmick. Like, we kind of like when we started doing the little videos, bro. If you want to switch it up for like a pay-per-view or something, like, let's just say real quick, this is a tangent, but this is the gimmick, bro. Let's just say you got three masks, A, B, C, right? So A is your regular one. When you want to rant about something, you throw on B. When it's critical news or a review, you throw on C. That's how they know, oh shit, this dude got the mean muertes on. Like, it's real.
I'm seriously going to go to town with the elf, the fucking Pentagon set on me at all, and just rant like crazy.
There you go, bro. Let those little flaps in the back fly like
no fear.
You know, like get your little Star Wars on.
I'll paint my face with that mask too. I don't care. It gotta be accurate.
I'll tell you, bro. But definitely, that's your gimmick right there, bro. But yeah, I gotta get the cam too, man. You know, for now, y'all can't see the mug, but y'all can hear the voice though. So you know, it's better than nothing. But yeah, definitely looking forward to all perv, no substance.
Oh, I want to name that this episode, but I'm gonna put it in the description.
Yeah, definitely put it in the description. Though, in the description, that would be great though. But yeah, man, it's been fun, brother.
All right, guys, you guys take care. If y'all hung around for all that, you are even better than you are eviler than Skeletor.
Oh, so done, bro. Yeah, for all sure. Right, brother. All right, thank you, brother. Take care. It's been a pleasure, man.
Later, man.
Later.